You're listening to Cardi Nerds Weekly.
Party nerds are in the house. Let's hear it up. Woo! But not, wait, hold. That was so lackluster.
I was clapping fucking hard as hell.
Now you did, yeah. Good job, man.
I have one hand available.
And Robert's going, hey. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Guys, welcome to the Party Nerds Weekly. We got so much to talk about. There's been a lot going on. And let's just start off. Let's get right to it. First of all, let me introduce our cast. We got the man, the fax master himself, the light-skinned wonder, the eighth light-skinned wonder of the world, James. There's seven before you, by the way.
Damn it. And I wish to never meet those people. All right, so what's
what
up, everybody?
His name is Hodge Bay.
My fellow beige brother.
How you feeling, James? How's life?
I'm good, man. Can't complain, man. Ready to get this shit on the road.
Let's get it rocking. And then next to him, or whichever way y'all looking at it, we have the bearded wonder himself, the Deadpool ninja, the one that's about to go, the guy who's looking at the wall as if it's interesting.
Hey, Bravo. The podcast is over here, bro.
What's up, Bravo?
What's up, guys? Good to be back.
I would have thought during the quarantine your beard would have looked like Jesus, like really long.
So the first month I did let it grow out a little bit, and I've said this on the podcast before. My beard grows from like here all the way down here, and it grows fast. I have to shave every single day. So my beard was actually getting pretty big, and I was just like, you know, I just can't let people think I'm homeless for a while. And I already did the long beard wizard moment for a while. So
yes, you did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna lie. First of all, the haircut, the hipster haircut with the beard, that's sexy as all hell. And this is coming from a straight male perspective. Bravo's looking extra sexy today, ladies. But I'm sorry, he is taken. So off the market. But if you want another bearded guy, the guy moderating this show, Jorge, what's up, bro?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Getting ready. You look like you just rolled out of bed, literally.
Yeah,
wow. It's like, time to make some show.
You mean the guy over there with the rocket coordinates on his wall?
Yeah. Yeah. It's where Hayes conspiracies. Just string them up the little pins, but like, see, it started here. All right. So let's get right into it. As we all know, probably one of the surprise hits of the past 2 years, and I'll say 2 years because it's still relatively new, The Boys, is on its season two. And all I got to say is I thought the first season was phenomenal, but once I saw the second season, it just made me want to...
Tell him how you got choked by a dick.
He did get choked by a dick.
Yo, so what do you guys think about the season so far? I mean, I know you're someone who also reads the comics. So how would you like compare the season to like where the comic story goes?
So they made a massive divergence from what the comics were doing. And we can see that a lot with the season two. Not to spoil anything for anybody, but even just with the episode that we just saw, part of Black Noir's face, he's very severely disfigured. That's not something that happens in the comics. In fact,
yeah, it looked like a black Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like they were going like in a Spawn or like a Deadpool like type of direction. And that's not the direction the comics go at all. Stormfront is actually a man. They did do the hey, it was the first super. That part's very linked in, and you know, the Nazi tie-ins. But it's interesting to see them kind of modernize it with all the stuff that's going on. And like, you know, I feel when they started season two, they had a very different message that they were going to go with, even still with all the Stormfront stuff. And then they're like, oh man, wait, we got to change some stuff up, capitalize on it. But
so
I like,
you really think that they stopped midway through? You think that somewhere along the line, they decided just to switch gears?
Probably writing wise. Yes. If you watch the last two episodes, it seems like there was a very overarching theme and message, and it kind of shifted with certain parts of it. So they're still putting out that same message, but it's kind of taken a backseat to more modern political landscapes that they've put in.
But right. Now, like, James, what do you think about, like, when you see Stormfront, like, obviously, like you said, Bravo, in the comic, she's pretty much like a Nazi and a guy. So a couple of things they added. They added the love story element, which I'm pretty sure...
With Homelander?
Right. I love it. I think it's the most awkward. It's so awkward, and it just shows you how...
All right. I didn't know that rage fucking could actually turn into, like, a full episode. Because that shit... was fucking crazy, son.
She's like, is that all you got?
It's all you got? Laser right here.
Who said stop? At that point, I'm just like, oh my God, they're really showing her, like, skin burning and everything like that.
Yeah.
And that's what's jarring. That's when Bravo whipped it out. He made sure his girl wasn't around. He's like, oh, I like this.
Oh, yeah, she was around.
But now, like, the funny thing is that if you look at the actress who plays her, she looks more like a social justice warrior type of person. So she looks like she'd be the opposite of what your typical racist nowadays would look like. How she was, like, all about the internet and all about stuff. And it's so weird that once you get little clues early on in the second season, like, wait, like, does she just really just go through in the apartment and just kill those Black people? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They give you little hints that she's, but now it's, like, coming out in the open that she's just a Nazi.
Well, the way that they played into the last episode, the beginning of it with the guy, like, the general consensus of the guy and how influenced from Stormfront, where that was, like, his favorite character, and how she was, like, on the TV warning people of super terrorists and everything like that, to the point where this guy just starts, it's getting drilled in his head every day, and then all of a sudden he shoots that clerk in the 7-Eleven.
That was a good scene. Like,
that whole scene was like, oh shit, because that's perfect as far as, like, the influence, basically, if you want to transcend that onto the social political climate that's happening right now. Like, this guy's just sitting there. He seems like a wholesome guy in the beginning. Wakes up every day, and just, like, going about his day, kisses his, either his, I don't know if that's his wife or his mom. You know what I'm saying? Wow. It looks kind of weird. And I hope it's his mom. You know what I'm saying? But the influence that Stormfront has and how she's kind of, like, taking over the narrative, Homelander's always tried to be the good guy that's a bad guy on the inside. Stormfront doesn't give a fuck. She's, you know what I'm saying? She's oozing out evil without even knowing. And she knows, because of how the influence of the internet goes, that she can speak out to the world and she knows she's gonna get that type of audience. Right. And they're gonna be on her side regardless. It's the Trump effect. It's the Trump effect.
Right.
So as somebody that was training to be a PSYOPs officer, and I was a candidate for it, like, years ago, the stuff that they did with that episode, I loved so much because they showed what social media is really doing, you know. And it's funny because nowadays a lot of companies are actually trying to show the very real influence these types of things happen, either directly, and that being, like, their goal, and indirectly, and it being like, oh, like, we didn't know, like, that's what was happening. Like, Facebook doesn't want to put out all of that type of stuff. It's just the way that their algorithm works. It's whatever's going to be or keep you on their app as long as possible. So they
to add to that, make sure you guys watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
That's fucking deep.
It has everything to say,
The Social Dilemma. And then if you really want, like, a very small thing, I believe it's Call of Duty, whatever one's coming out, called Cold War. Their trailer tries to explain how a little bit of PSYOPs works with the foundations of geopolitics during the Cold War and still to this day. And that's exactly what Stormfront did. And that episode did a very good job of showing and educating people how easily it is for us to be manipulated. One of the key cornerstones of all of that stuff is, no matter who you are, no matter, even if you know all of this stuff, you are not immune to propaganda.
Bro, and it's like, the show to me is getting better and better because of the little things like we're talking about, how when you watch the show, you're actually looking at issues today. I mean, from the Compound B, you know, maybe you can consider that with the steroids or drug use. Like, all everything in that show is kind of like reflecting society, which art should, you know, and I think it's brilliant. And
the whole influence I saw from like season two is that the Compound V was Homelander's idea to get a military contract so that he could start a war and possibly outside independently make some money.
Mm.
And that's the thing,
off of military contracts.
And that's the thing that, you know, it's funny because I hate when it's become a meme, but I hate when I hear people say, oh, I don't want my comics to be political. All comics are political.
All of them.
Like, it's just they hide it very well. And some of them led to actual very real changes in our world that because they were given to, you know, the common people and everything like that, that it made people start thinking. And The Boys is doing a great job every season and every message that they're putting out there explaining, like, listen, we'll let you make the decision, but we're showing you how these very real things happen in our world and how easily bad people can use good things and ruin it for the rest of us.
That's so true. And let's real quick talk about the actors. Tony Starr, the guy that plays Homelander. Let me just say, besides him being probably the, like, remember Jeffrey from Game of Thrones? You like love to hate him.
Joffrey.
Yeah. He's on Joffrey level of someone. He's just so sinister, such an asshole. But you kind of love that he's so bad. And the actor himself, he always interacts with the Party Nerds page. He's a great guy, Tony Starr. Yeah, he's like really a great guy. So when you see him, you're like, you're not supposed to be nice. You're gonna kill me, aren't you?
Was during an group interview, one of the questions was, who is most like their character? And everyone pointed at Tony Starr.
Really?
He's an inside Nightcrawler serial killer.
Wow. Nice. Really a narcissistic, superpowered asshole. That's wonderful.
They might have obviously been like a whole joke to go with it, but it's just very funny to see them just be like, oh yeah, no, it's definitely Homelander, just exactly like how.
but the evolution of all the characters basically in season two, the evolution of Bill Butcher, and basically you see that connotation with him and his father, Ashton Kutcher. No, I said Bill the Butcher. but the whole thing as far as like his relationship with his father and why he turned out to be so tough. So he had a brother, and his father, I guess, abused him, verbally abused him, mentally abused him, physically abused him, to the point where Bill got tough, his brother committed suicide, and his dad does not regret the shit.
Yo, you can tell how he became how he is, because his dad was just as hard ass as he was.
His dad, he's choking his dad out, and he was like, that's it. Yeah, that's
his dad
it.
Was like, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, did you guys notice the father is the guy from, from Lord of the Rings? Yeah, well, what was the character's name in Lord of the Rings? Bravo. He was the, remember in the chamber, he kept eating. He was the father of
Denethor.
Denethor. Yes. So, I mean,
fucking tomato, man.
Right.
Look, all the things anybody needs to know a character,
except for the tomato.
But let's move on to the next subject, which is the casting. MCU has been doing a lot of casting within the past couple of weeks, and a lot of which has been kind of surprising because everyone was looking forward to these big names. But when you look at it, like they just announced that Kamala Khan, who's and a young actress named Iman Vellani. Have you guys ever heard of her?
No, but I did come to find out that she gave Captain Marvel 2 stars in her own little personal review, and I thought that was absolutely fabulous.
Wow! I think I like her even more.
Yeah, she thought that shit was... She loves Brie Larson, but she thought that shit was whack.
I think she's done the smart thing that... Where, you know, one of the only things I can praise them about Star Wars, at least for the first castings, were that they didn't go with big names because they don't want it to distract people from who this character is supposed to be.
Right.
Like, when you think about it, when they were casting all of these MCU people, like, at the very beginning, it was yeah, they're not really big names, or oh, you know, they're kind of rising stars. Or yeah, like
Chris Pratt wasn't that the guy in the TV show Chris Pratt? Yeah, I think I remember him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Chris Pratt had no acting, like very little acting experience before he got into Parks and Rec, and you know, he's one of my favorite like people. He's hysterical. He's like a good-hearted person, but to go with the casting of him, when at the end of the day, all he really had professional wise was that one show. Like, and Robert Downey Jr., of course, was out of the park, like, you know, perfect casting.
Right.
But at that time, he was a washed up. Like,
I wish I was on Twitter when Robert Downey Jr. became Iron Man. It was like, y'all got a crackhead to play fucking Tony Stark?
No, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, bro, you got a dope fiend playing Tony Stark. Y'all wildin'.
Now we can't imagine anyone else being Tony Stark, because just almost like Patrick Stewart is just like, no, that's Professor X. Like he's embraced that role so much. And then you have like She-Hulk, Tatiana Maslany. She was actually in a couple things, but still, like you just said, not a huge actress.
Orphan Black is the only thing that I'm only cognizant of what she's been in.
But I think that's good, you know, because we're going to be getting these new actors, so we can't prejudge them like, oh, I like them in this role better. I put it like this, I have full faith in Marvel. They haven't let us down so far. Has the MCU really done bad casting, aside from Don Cheadle?
Oh.
Sorry, man.
So you're saying Terrence Howard was a good decision. Come on, man.
Next time, man.
Come on. No, but they've actually, this has been their cue from jump. They always pull up rising actors. They always pulled up rising directors and everything like that. That's kind of been their go-to as far as how they're going to do their movie making. They're not going to pull these big stars. They're not going to get The Rock to play anybody in the MCU.
Please, regardless of not have The Rock come into the MCU, please.
Look,
which is actually very when you think of how much Disney has a control over all these medias, because at the end of the day, they're like, okay, well, let's hire new people. Let's get some fresh faces in there, or at least relatively fresh faces in there, and change it up a bit. Because think about it, at the end of the day, just like you were mentioning, Jack Gleason, the kid who plays Joffrey, at the end of the day, like, you know, he stepped away from acting, but if he went into acting, any part, all you're going to think about is, that's Joffrey. Same with Daniel
Radcliffe. He's typecast.
Yeah. You're going to, like, even just with what we were just mentioning with The Boys. Oh, he was in Lord of the Rings. Well, he was also in Fringe, like, and that's what you see him as. But at the end of the day, it's nice to see that, you know, Disney is at least trying to get new blood or new-ish blood into the new roles.
Now, what do you guys think about the Hawkman casting? Aldis Hodge, which is a Black man. You know, Bravo, you're always so quick to say, and it's such a good point, that if race changing, if race swapping a role doesn't really affect the story, then it's no big deal. Or the origin of the heritage, I'm sorry, of the character.
Yeah, but now, like, the easiest way to figure that type of stuff out, just in case, you know, anybody that's watching hasn't heard me say it, is someone like Magneto, who was a European Jewish Holocaust survivor. He needs to be a European Jew. Like, that's what he needs to be, at least be able to present as that. Black Panther needs to be a Black man. He needs to be. But at the end of the day, like, even somebody with an iconic look, even just like as Superman, if he was Black, it's not the end of the world. It's not anything different, because at the end of the day, truth be told, is it really that hard to believe that a race of aliens is Black versus white? Because that's all it is. He's an alien that looks exactly like.
And to be perfectly honest, it's comic book accurate, because the soul of Prince Khufu, who was a Black African in ancient Egypt, gets passed on through all the Hawkmen. Now, mostly if through the generation of Hawkman comics, you know him as Carter Hall. People don't know the depicted origin of Hawkman. So they don't know about Prince Khufu or anything like that. They might hear it brought up in like origin reasoning just by name, but they never really like gone back and researched the story where it was like Justice Society of America. Prince Khufu's two advisors were Dr. Fate and Black Adam. basically kind of like where this is going to derive from. So the fact that like Aldis Hodge is being Hawkman, I mean, like it doesn't play into my conscience.
Exactly. A dark Egyptian.
And it's like a dark skinned Egyptian. Is there such a thing? Yes.
We're about to see some light skin rage. Look.
I'm just saying. Oh, well, come
that's on. The other thing. A lot of people don't even understand how certain races even look. Like, I remember when Rami Malek was first starting to get into the spotlight when he played the Egyptian from the Night at the Museum movie. When he played the Pharaoh, a bunch of people were like, oh, this guy Rami Malek is playing an Egyptian? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's Egyptian.
But you know what? You can't like take someone like Mojo, our friend in the WWE. People don't realize like he's from I think he's from
Syrian, right?
He's a Syrian or Egyptian, but you know, like when sometimes when you look at him, you're like, you know what? I see it, but people in that region are just so many different colors. It can be anything. Exactly.
I was gonna say, you look at Mojo, you immediately think he's Russian or somewhere around
that. Yeah. I, Mojo Riley, will eat your butt, Corny Zanjeev.
I mean, come on, man. Constantine and Julius Caesar fucked everything in sight when they ravaged those lands. So obviously people are lighter over there. God damn.
So, all right, the last topic before we go is Jamie Foxx got super excited that, as you guys know, Jamie Foxx is coming back as Electro. And I guess he got a little ahead of himself when he posted the image. What was in that image?
The image was basically an overshadow of his face, but it showed the three Spider-Men. Basically, I'm not sure actually the three. What you can see is Miles Morales is one of the Spider-Men, and then two other Spider-Men. You don't know if it's Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield or Tom Holland, whichever two of the three.
The always important thing in any superhero movie, a world laser.
Yeah, so like, but the thing is, it gave the depiction that there will be a live action Spider-Verse.
Ooh, all right, if this does happen, if they do get Tobey Maguire, if they do get Andrew Garfield, do you guys think the Spider-Man movie will break records if they pull this off?
Absolutely. Yes. Like, it's something everybody was hoping for since Mysterio announced the multiverse. Because the second that was announced in the trailer, everybody was going into all these different things and all these different theories. Some were even saying, no, this Mysterio is actually good. Our Mysterio will be the main villain of the of the movie, and it's going to lead into the Spider-Verse, it's going to lead into the multiverse, and this is how they're going to be able to do multiple stories and what if and all of these different things, which would honestly be a brilliant thing for Disney to do with Marvel, because one, they can launch the what if series very easily, and then if any movie doesn't do well or doesn't quite fit a tone,
they can write it off.
You know, an alternate movie.
Yep.
But the thing is, I see this as a direct confliction into the Flashpoint project. So the Flashpoint project was supposed to implement the multiverse and basically bring back certain types of characters brought up where you're seeing the Michael Keaton Batman, Thomas Wayne being introduced and all that. So you're looking at something, so DC's trying to introduce their multiverse. But then you have Marvel on the other.
Do you think it's a
race?
Oh,
it's a race to get it done.
Now,
because the timelines are kind of like jacked up and Phase 4 is kind of like pushed ahead and DC brought out fandom to see exactly what they're doing. They did no Flash anything. But the thing is, now it's kind of like, that's the only thing I see competitive about the two. Everything else is kind of like free game because DC has kind of like gotten off the ball. They don't want to do a connected universe. We're just going to do us.
I think it's going to be very similar to the launching of the MCU and the launching of the DCEU. The DCEU was in plans for that years and years and years, way before the MCU was in thought to do that stuff. But Marvel came out with it first. Marvel did it right. And so now it's, you know, Marvel has the advantage to put it out there, whereas the DCEU, them doing it is kind of like one of their last hopes of, hey, like, you know, we know you didn't like Man of Steel or Justice League, but you really liked Aquaman. So we're going to figure out a way to keep Aquaman and Wonder Woman together and then change about the things that we like and discard the things we don't like.
Right. One of the more interesting things I saw was, and I don't know how credible this article was, but they said that the MCU is also talking to, like, Jorge, your boy from Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise.
Talking to Jorge?
Tom Cruise
is talking to Jorge.
Yeah. So supposedly Tom Cruise might be make a cameo as an alternate universe Iron Man, and they also were talking about possibly Robert Downey as an alternate universe Doctor Strange, because keep in mind these were actors that almost got the part or that were considered for the part before. So I don't know if they're going to do that. Articles are a dime a dozen, but how interesting would that be?
Dude, that would be glorious.
See? He thinks.
Look, anything with Tom Cruise to him is fucking fire. I can't do this.
Might be for a brief second. However they do it, if they show up for just like 10 seconds or something like that, that's enough to get the audience reaction. But the cool thing is with the multiverse, there's so many avenues they can take this. You know, actors from the past, actors that could have, wished, should have been. I just hope that movie theaters and everything goes back to normal so that the box office can do justice to, you know, what how good these movies are going to be.
But kind of hope so, because Regal...
You guys are seeing the deepfakes that anything's possible. You saw the one where the Back to the Future with Tom Holland and all that. If they ever do a reboot or multiverse, fuck, you know?
How sad is it that deepfakes are now better than what they did in the Justice League movie with Superman? Like has technology gone there, right? He's like...
Oh, my God.
Superman's mouth over here, like, "Hey, I'm Superman." it was bad.
But yo, just to get back to that point, that Jamie Foxx Electro was trash. I'm sorry. Like,
I agree.
And Jorge, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was horrible, bro.
It was.
I mean, look, we can look at a couple characters and see exactly where they're at. Jamie Foxx being reintroduced. So you're bringing a bad villain, bad played villain, back into a movie. I mean, goddamn, just get Paul Giamatti and bring him back as Rhino again.
Yo, wait, running down the kid? Who was the kid from that 70s show that was Venom?
No.
Topher Grace?
Topher Grace. Yes.
Yeah. Like, bring him back. Are we going to do this? Are we just gonna bring back everybody that did like a horrible job as characters?
They could actually do something where they had Topher Grace versus, why am I blanking on his name? The guy who played Venom recently.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. So imagine if they have Topher Grace right in front of Tom Harding's Venom, and like his Venom's all hulking, and he's just like,
"I'm like, like, here it here, like here it here." That would be That would be maniacally stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Maniacally stupid. It's so stupid.
Yes, you know what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. So, like, how much better could Jamie Foxx portray this character?
First of all, you can't make that comic version of Electro look cool, like with the electricity coming. Like,
oh,
that
my God.
There's nothing you could do to make that look cool.
No, it was pretty much a lost cause at that point. And even the origin story that they gave him was pretty trash.
Yeah.
It was bad.
The MCU. And Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man villains. So Tom Holland's and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man villains are crucial. Andrew Garfield's, not so much.
Which is hysterical because he was the golden boy for Sony for a while. But, like, you know, he pissed off the president. And, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, to bring the conversation around full circle, let's go back to our original topic, which is the boys. Where do you guys see the story going? Like, who's blowing up these people's heads? Is this something in the comic Bravo, or is this something that they're throwing into it?
Not that I remember. I'd have to reread it, but not that I remember anybody's head exploding. I'm really interested to see what the rule is. Like, Is it, you know, since they had Translucent's son in it recently, the only thought that I could think is that it's actually him doing it. But I think it's more than likely it's somebody that has some type of hemorrhage power or something like that, doing it long range rather than turning invisible and squishing people's heads.
Well, they got that girl that just broke out the prison, and she's like 11 times 10 on steroids. Now she can do that. But the thing is, there was also that moment in time where they were meeting up with that detective. It happened to her. That was like four episodes ago.
It is always when someone's about to expose Vault. So could it be Giancarlo, the guy that runs it? Could that be his power?
Well,
that's the thing. Oh, go ahead, James.
No, he has those Holman devices in their neck. Is it actually like a ticking time bomb? Like how they cut out of Starlight?
Yeah, but to be able to do that with congressmen and stuff like that, it seems a little far-fetched that that's like the case. I would see it more than likely it being somebody's power and it being a very unique and interesting way that they present it. I do like the idea of the Translucent Sun. I like the idea of Giancarlo's character doing it. It's just since, you know, they showed his family, they're putting a lot of emphasis on Homelander's son being the first superborn, that it's like, okay, well, like, it was somebody specifically created for this. And I just find it very, I'd be very disappointed if it was somebody that, oh, well, their power is just very similar to that girl we found.
You want more of a twist to it. All right, guys. Well, look, Party Nerds Weekly, we are out. Bravo, thank you for coming. James, Jorge, I hope you get those conspiracies on your wall totally straight. You know, we know who did it. And Party Nerds, we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Party Nerds. Party Nerds. Party Nerds. Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.
Party Nerds.